Welcome to episode 242 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Laura, Sandy, Lindsay, and Donna. Azamara Club Cruises is a division of Royal Caribbean International, but is unlike her much more popular mass market products, like Celebrity and Royal Caribbean. Azamara is built and is tended to be small. Currently, with only three mid-sized ships in the fleet, Azamara is a port-intensive, destination-focused small ship experience with interesting itineraries all over the world, including round-the-world options. Elizabeth recently took a tour of the Azamara journey, and we thought we would talk to her tonight about the line and what her impressions were. So let's get started.
So this was a really cool cruise line. Have any of you ever experienced her in any way, shape, or form?
No, and I was excited that it was coming close enough for you to go do a ship inspection.
Yeah, me too. It's unusual. Yeah, it was in Charleston, which is weird anyway, because really there's only one ship that goes in and out of Charleston. Carnival has the exclusive sort of in and out for embarkation and debarkation in Charleston. Nobody else can do it. It's very, very small port. It literally is like a parking lot, right off the Battery there. It's like really, really small. And I had never even seen the port in Charleston. I haven't gone out of Charleston
it's
myself.
Right off the Battery?
No, it's actually, it's over, it's like right across from the Union, what is it called? There's a historic building right there.
Building?
Yes, the customs building. It is literally right across from the customs building.
I didn't realize it was so downtown. Mm-hmm.
It is very much so. And the traffic can be hairy getting in and out. But of course that day, because the journey was actually there on a New York to New York itinerary. They came down to Charleston for a few nights, went to Bermuda for a few nights, and then went back up to New York. And that's the thing that Azamara does, is they do these intensives where they're overnighting, in several places or a couple of places. So they were actually in Charleston when the Masters was going on in Augusta. So there were people who were literally getting off the ship in the morning, going to the Masters all day, and then coming back and sleeping on the ship. And then, that's why they came down, was to go see the Masters.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think Charleston is a really well-suited port for this kind of ship, though, because it's just such a cool city. So
yeah. Awesome. Well, and because it's so small and it's right there downtown, you just walk off and go eat yourself silly on great Charleston food and then, get back on the ship. Yeah, it's really
That's like my favorite place to be, down by the Battery and by the Market and off King Street. Mm-hmm. Everything is right there.
Mm-hmm. And really cool, has really cool like historical tours that don't take a lot of time that naturally happen within that city. Where three, four, five people can load into a horse-drawn carriage and, a couple hours later get off and go into the straw market and have a nice meal. And, I love that city too.
Well, somebody told me it was like a really, really clean New Orleans.
I don't know if I say really, really clean, but clean. Yeah.
Compared to New Orleans.
Charleston and Savannah are sister cities. And in many ways. And so that's normally where I, especially in how hot they are. And I was there the second weekend of April. Man, I got out of my car and I went, oh, welcome to Charleston. Yeah. It's like, it is so humid. So, but we should really talk about the ships.
But we love Charleston.
So the ship is very, you walk on board and actually the first thing I thought was it's got this country club feel. Mm-hmm. And they call it Azamara Club Cruising. So I'm sure that's sort of what they're going for. So winner. And then of course I posted on Facebook about my experience and I had like three people comment, gosh, it looks just like a country club. And I was like, well, buddy, you should say that. So yeah, it has all the amenities that you want on a ship, but on a smaller scale. The one thing, it does currently have a casino, but they're actually doing away with it. Hmm. And the reason it's actually already not on one of their ships, they're doing away with it on this one. And then I think on the third ship, they didn't put it in at all, the newer ship. And so they're replacing that with more bar and lounge space because they said because they're so port intensive, it can't be open very often.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody was using it. So they're just closing it down.
Yeah.
It looked really different. I was one of the people who watched your Facebook lives, and a lot of times when you're doing, and I don't mean this as a slam, although it's going to come off as one, just but like when you guys are doing Facebook lives, well, the different lines kind of look the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, that's a cruise ship room. But you know, it's like I wanted to watch, mm-hmm, and to take a deep breath at the same time. It's like, this feels really different. Mm-hmm. Really different. Like it's like a genteel or a easier way of living kind of thing.
Yes. You know? It's a little bit of a throwback to older school cruising. So we can't call it small ship cruising because it's not, but it is a midsize ship, but the cabins are smaller. I mean, it sort of got that old cruise feel to it. The things that I fell in love with, you know, if you've been cruising for a long time, and especially if you started on a small ship or a midsize ship, this is what you're missing, you know. And actually, maybe it's because I was in Charleston, but I even felt like it was a little bit similar to the American Queen, which is one of the steam, boats do, like a riverboat, that has the, like, I mean, you know that Mark Twain was walking on that ship, even though he wasn't. But you know that he was, because you can just see it. It's that, and this doesn't have that old South decor, but it definitely had that sort of old world cruising feel to it. Just an older, and to say that too, I keep using the word old. Not everyone on this ship was old. Like, these weren't people that necessarily were cruising in 1930. Yeah, it was a nice wide range. There weren't a lot of kids on board but these are port intensive, so there's not kids activity. You know, there's some kids activities, but nothing extravagant, because they really do expect you to spend a lot of time in port.
They tend to draw people who want more of a deeper cultural experience in the ports with their late nights. And I've always been intrigued by their the Azamara evenings.
Yes.
And the special events that are included in each sailing.
Yes. And I believe they actually call them Azamazing.
Azamazing.
Don't they do something in Brazil for like carnival, mm-hmm, and stuff?
You're just skipping all over the bullet points.
I didn't look at
the Azamazing evenings. Like a good one example that most people think of is in Italy, they'll take you to like a three tenors concert and it's included. So it's not all inclusive, like a river cruise where all your excursions are inclusive, but they do include one Azamazing evening on every itinerary. I think in Spain, you might go to a flamenco show. It's different in different ports. On different itineraries, I should say, because it's not in every port. It's one per itinerary.
Mm-hmm. So you said midsize, but how many passengers?
Let me pull up my notes. I knew you'd ask something like that.
Well, I know that the Pursuit, when it was the Adonia, was like 500 people.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes, and that's the thing. They call themselves midsize, but I will. So the Journey and the Quest are 690 guests, and the Pursuit is 702 guests.
Yeah.
To me, that's small ship.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call that midsize.
Yeah, but they call themselves midsize, so I guess to them, small is like a yacht, maybe? I don't know.
Like 100% ship?
It's eight decks, I think. So, yeah, I mean, they're really not large. And honestly, my very first ship, was on the Stella Maris in 1993, I believe. And she, about a year later, became a private yacht. And that was 750 guests. So I don't know how you get much smaller than that. Yeah. I mean, other than being just a sailboat.
I mean, there are some smaller ships that are like 300 people. Mm-hmm. The Paul Gauguin.
I guess so. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So definitely you would know everybody by the time you get off this ship. You would at least recognize all of your fellow passengers. So
I want to say that, like, because the Paul Gauguin, now that I have a point of reference for this, because even though it wasn't owned by them, I was on the Pursuit, the ship that eventually became the Pursuit, for 2 weeks. Now that I have a frame reference for that and the Paul Gauguin, I really don't feel like they were that much different in size. Hmm. Maybe in the amount of people on board.
Yeah, I mean, it might be cabin space. I don't know how big the cabins are on the Paul Gauguin. I know that it is a luxury product. And Azamara would be considered a luxury product. It is country club casual. It's not uptight luxury. It's definitely just how you described Paul Gauguin.
Yeah,
too.
So say it's relaxed luxury, mm-hmm, casual luxury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and definitely more geared toward I mean, it's got more of a hotel feel to it than some cruise ships are trying to be much more because you're spending so much time on them. Mm-hmm. This really is, if you can imagine, like when you're in Paris and you spend all day out touring and, you know, going to see art or whatever, and then you come back to your hotel and you want to sit in the hotel bar, have a nice cocktail, you know, maybe go to dinner in the hotel restaurant and, you know, just hang out. That's what this feels like. This definitely feels like a place you go after your day, or as a starting point for your evening for when you're in an overnight situation. And I assure you, I wasn't there all day into the evening. I was only there from about 10 o'clock in the morning to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But I assure you, those folks were getting on and off the ship all through the evening. So.
And I have to say, for a cruise line that only has three ships, they have a large, diverse selection of destinations that they go to. So those ships seem to be always moving somewhere.
Yep. With the Pursuit now, they hit all seven continents. Yeah, with three ships.
So yeah. Is that a typical itinerary, like a week, or is it more like
weeks? It varies. Yeah, some of them are longer, and they have round the world options. So that's the thing. When you have three ships like that, like George is saying, you're moving around all the time. So it's not like we're just looping the Caribbean for months and months. We'll do a Caribbean itinerary, but it's probably on our way to South America, you know? So you can get on and string some cruises together and see all or part of the world that way. And then, you know, end up someplace totally different. So it's, yeah. And they do, you can do the one that I saw, that was a 7-night itinerary out of New York, and it was New York to New York. So it's not like they never loop back, but it's rare. And they're not in Charleston a lot. I mean, I have friends in South Carolina and they're like, the what? They'd never heard of it.
You only think of Carnival in Charleston. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised I didn't realize that kids could be on board. I just pictured it, I guess, as an all adult only thing. So did they have like a kids club?
I do not remember a kids club. I certainly didn't see one. And I feel like this question was asked. It's sort of like a river cruise. Except for Viking, which you are forbidden for being children on that, is 18. So it's not forbidden, but it's also, they need to be ready for this vacation. It's not a, and they did mention that you see more kids on the Alaska itineraries and, you know, so the places where you would expect to see some more families. But no, any kids activities they have on board will be fairly limited to, you know, and they can gear it toward who's coming on board for sure. Yeah.
And I'm assuming that like most families who will travel, like even the ones that I saw and I've seen on other smaller cruise lines that maybe don't have the activities on board for kids, because they're so port intensive, those families are going to be off at the crack of dawn doing whatever, you know, that's where the focus is for the trip. It's not about checking their kid into the kid club.
And since we're talking about some of the intensives, they actually now are doing country intensives. So it's not just like cruise the Mediterranean from Barcelona to Rome. They will do something that's totally devoted to Italy, and all the ports will be in Italy. And so you could say if there's a country you're wanting to see, they have one for Greece, they have them for Alaska. But to me, that most cruise lines have an intensive for Alaska because it's so big that once you're there, I believe they have one for Great Britain, they have one for Japan. So if you want to go see a country, then this is a great way to do it because they'll get you from place to place, but they won't spend tons of time getting you there. They'll get you there as fast as they can so that you can get off and enjoy the destination. So, and that's something that they're really building up. They started doing them a few years ago. They introduced one. So every year they introduce a country or two where they're starting to, you know, make sure that there's one or two itineraries where they're just there, sitting there. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you can see all that without unpacking mm-hmm. your stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They have an itinerary I'm looking at right now. Leaves it out of LA, does four stops in Hawaii, and then hits Bora Bora, Moorea, and Tahiti.
Doesn't so how long
get
is that?
Much better than that. It is 18 nights and the price is really reasonable, way below what I thought it would be for that many nights.
So it goes back to LA or
no,
you fly home from Tahiti.
Tahiti. Okay.
Yeah. I see George's eyes. I know what George's next group is going to be.
It's 7.5 hours, 7.5 or 8 hours from Tahiti to LA. So
Yeah, but if you only have to do it one way, that's not too bad.
Not too bad at all.
But there would be some days at sea for that, right?
Yeah, it looks like it. It doesn't say exactly, but well, so you're doing 7 actual port stops on a 18 night. So yeah, you do the math.
Well, although some of those are probably overnight, they're multi-day because that's what they tend to do.
Yeah. Could be, yeah.
I would think so. So which ship is that? The Journey?
It is the Journey, yes.
So that's the one that I saw. And the Journey and the Quest are sister ships, so they're very much alike. What Lindsay was referring to before with the Pursuit, she's been on that ship before, but under a different name.
Yeah. Under an alias.
Yeah. So they actually acquired it and have, you know, turned it into
a ship. We should say the ship had a different name.
Yeah. He's... Oh, sorry.
Elizabeth, what kind of traveler do you think would like this? Like, what other cruise lines might they have aligned with that this might be a good fit for them?
I definitely think people who like river cruises would enjoy this experience. Definitely people who are not so much about the ship, but are much more about the land. You know, they want to do the whatever, you know, they want to see the country that they're going to. The ship is just a convenient way to get them there. And that's why I think river cruising is a good comparison, because it's the same. Yeah. You know, except for with river cruising, you rarely stay someplace 2 or 3 nights, and that would almost defeat the purpose. But
yeah, I remember going to a workshop with them a couple of like national conferences ago that we go to, and the gentleman said it was port immersive. That's what he
talked
about. He said, you know, this is, we are all about the ports. You know, we're all about the ports.
Yeah.
So we're going to get you there really nicely. You're going to enjoy getting there, but it's all about the ports.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful floating hotel. And I know a lot of cruise ships are that, but this is a little bit, it's more of a boutique feel. And that country club feel, that's real. And actually, I think some of that also, another group of people that really love these cruises are golfers. Azamara partners with Perry Golf, which is a golf tourism company. And so one of their itineraries is the British Isles. And part of that itinerary is you go to the British Open. So that's, it's not like if you book that cruise, you don't have to go to the British Open, you add on that, but they have tickets to the British Open for you and they get you there. They do an Ireland itinerary where I think you play 4 of the world's best golf courses there in Ireland. So golfers just love this. And it's not just that you're going to play golf there. They arrange the tee times. They get your clubs over to the course. I mean, it's full service.
This is where the Masters is making sense.
Yeah, this is where the Masters is making sense. And actually, this was a golf trip. So it wasn't just to watch golf in Bermuda. They golfed. And there were a lot of people on that ship who weren't going to the Masters. They were going to Kiowa to golf. Mm-hmm. So this was a golf cruise. And Perry was on board for this one. Perry Golf was on board for this one. So, but they do this all over the world. So definitely golfers, great. And you can't beat it, because there are many marriages where one partner is a golfer and the other partner isn't. And so, you know, if you're in Ireland, there's probably something for that other partner to do. You know, maybe he likes whiskey, or maybe she likes shopping for wool or whatever, you know, or just going to see the sights. So there's definitely options for that. They also do some other itineraries. I have clients who are very interested in their Grand Prix itinerary. So if you love racing, and even if you don't, the Grand Prix is probably one of the most beautiful races there is out there, but also one of the most famous. But it's in Monaco. It's difficult to get a viewing spot for that. Well, they'll take you right up to Monaco. They've got a little reserve viewing area. You can watch the races for several days, and then you can go on with your med cruise. I mean, who doesn't love that?
Can't complain that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of thing I would go to. I don't dislike racing, but I don't love it. I would totally do that. Yeah. I would completely do that. So they go to Carnival and, you know, they have different itineraries for special events like that. It's just really a great way to see it. And again, it's small, all things considered, a small ship. It's not like they're dumping 4,000 people at the Grand Prix. There's 700 people on board, and you know, not all of them are going to go watch the race. So.
Well, and it might not be at capacity, because that's a
few. Right.
So you mentioned that it's all about the ports and actually being on the ports. So are there any kind of entertainment opportunities on the ships themselves?
Yeah, they have smaller scale entertainment. So not really Broadway shows, but they'll have musicians and and guest performers and things like that. So
kind of more like piano bar kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yep. Kind of geared towards your river cruise kind of thing as well. They don't dedicate a whole lot of space. I actually sat in the theater for the presentation that they did, you know, because we were touring the ship, so they did a slideshow. And it's bigger than a black box theater, but not much, you know, it's sort of just a small, everybody seated almost at the same level. It could easily double as a nightclub and probably does, with just a little bit of performance space. And I didn't, you know, I'm sure there's not kick line dancers there. The ceilings are kind of low. It's an older ship. So, it was definitely,
I think their expectation is you're either exploring the port or you're so worn out from exploring the port that you kind of want to have a nightcap and listen to a little music and tuck in for your next day of exploring. Yeah.
It really is. That's, I want to be on one of these ships because it's very much about the lounging and the socializing and the having a drink and chilling out. So yeah, you go see stuff. And then again, you could go off in the morning, see stuff, come back, take a little afternoon nap, have a little glass of wine, have dinner, and then go back out and see the town, see the city again in the evening, maybe go catch a show depending on where you are. So yeah, definitely a chill vacation.
I like that afternoon nap sound a lot.
That's what vacations are all about.
What amenities are included with your first
time? So they do include some beverages. I believe it is with, it's standard spirits, international beers and wine. So they do have drink packages if you want high top shelf stuff, but they do include your basics. And then that Oz Amazing Evening that we were talking about, that's complimentary. It's not all the shore excursions, but just that one. And then gratuities are already worked in, and your basic beverages like bottled water, sodas, soft drinks, juices, especially coffees and teas. And then self-serve laundry. So you know, you don't have to put quarters into a machine. You can just
go act like you're at someone's house.
Just throw the laundry. Yeah.
So that's perfect, especially if you end up doing this as like a transatlantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
And the suites have butlers. I mean, it's all the stuff that you know. The suites have extra amenities as well, including some onboard credit. So if you book as a suite guest, you immediately get some onboard credit, which you would be able to apply to some of those excursions. And yes, to answer your question, I did get to eat. So there's a couple of specialty restaurants on board, and I do believe I'm worried to say this because I might be wrong, but I think you get complimentary seating in the specialty restaurants if you're a suite guest. I knew it was free for somebody. So there is a cover charge for non-suite guests. And we ate in one of them, which I believe was Aquilina, which is their Italian restaurant, but we were served sort of a mishmash of their recipes. It was really quite good. The dining room is lovely, not too dressy. Again, very country club casual. There were white tablecloths, but it wasn't white tablecloths. You didn't, you know, feel like you had to not touch anything. It was just, it was very nice.
No one was wearing gloves.
Yeah, no one was wearing gloves to serve you. That the service was very attentive, and they can accommodate any food allergies or anything like that. So yeah, I definitely, the food was good, good to great, I would say. So I would love to try more, you know, one meal on these tours is so, they always bring out their good stuff, you know, so I don't
know. Yeah, you get like a choice of two or three things.
Yeah. And yeah. And it's usually two of their best things. So
This is a kind of weird question, but do you know if they do afternoon tea on any of their itineraries?
So there is an afternoon tea service in suite for the suite guests. So I feel certain that there probably is something publicly for that as well. And in fact, there was a restaurant toward the back, like a bar lounge thing, which I do believe they said they set up for afternoon tea. It may depend on the itinerary a little bit too. We did not see it being set up, and we were there about 2:30, so I would have thought they would have started by then, but
I have a client who I've just discovered loves afternoon tea, so I'm starting to look for those. You know, her husband said she's so excited. She's trying a brand new cruise brand from one they usually try. And he said she's so excited they have afternoon tea. I'm writing that down because, you know, sometimes it's the little things like that that really
make the difference.
It's like, you know, coming back, you've been out all day and you come back. And like you said, you have afternoon tea, you're taking a little nap, you know, you have a julep or a gin and tonic, or you have a nice dinner, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, there's all casual.
You know, we've talked about other cruise lines that do this, that have guest lecturers and themed cruising, but that's something else that they do. They have like the itinerary that George was mentioning. They have an eco component to that, and they have a marine biologist on board, and they have special guest lecturers, you know, depending on the theming, I guess the theme you call of the cruise. That might be something else to look into for your clients who might be looking for something special, this a little extra thing on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Laura, you asked earlier about the ideal client. I think that there definitely is a sort of a component of education there. They want to learn about where they're going. But I would say also culture, people who would appreciate classical music. I mean, that was what struck me, was if you take my kids to an as amazing evening with the three tenors, they might actually kill me. And they love music. And, you know, I think Marcus would probably dig it, but I don't know that Finley would sit through that, you know, on a bet. So I think it would depend on, you know, the kids and the itinerary as to whether or not that would be a truly as amazing experience. Yeah. And not just for kids. I mean, there are certainly adults who would think that was a drag too. So I'm sure, and it's not required that you're not, you know, you're not herded off the boat and forced to go to this performance. So
yeah, but you know what, if you took one around Ireland, they might absolutely love the as amazing evening of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like a nice pub music experience. Yeah, that would be great. I don't know what they do in Ireland, actually. That would be interesting. Maybe it's dancing.
Look and see. Yeah. Maybe they're there on St. Patrick's Day.
I will say, if I knew a golfer, I would put them on that Ireland one.
Sandy, you're going to be so disappointed if you ever make it to Ireland on St. Patrick's Day. This is the fourth time that you've mentioned excitement about.
So did they talk all about knights in private places?
What?
I know. Seems a little weird.
Tell us more, George.
Well, what? According to the website, it's an unforgettable evening of luxurious pampering for two with your every need attended by a personal butler. So it looks like it's champagne and a special private buffet. After dinner, you get a glass of champagne on the Sanctum Terrace. And then they actually have an outdoor bed where you sleep outside at night under the stars.
Wow. Yeah, they did not tell us about that.
Yeah, it's only on the Journey and the Quest, which is maybe, were those one of the ones you were on?
Yeah, so, the Journey.
The bed exactly?
So it says it's on the Sanctum Terrace. Wrap yourself in a plush robe, and as night falls, flickering candles add to the romance of your hideaway. And when you're ready to sleep, we'll turn down the outdoor bed or close a roof panel and curtains if you prefer, so you can spend an incredible night under the stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if I did see that. It's starting to come back to me. Maybe I saw it and didn't realize that.
Maybe it's in that private area in the suites and all.
No, it's the Sanctum is, that's the suite only area, I believe, but it's for all suite guests. I guess they close it off to you. That's interesting. I wonder how much that costs.
That is very exclusive.
It's $395 per couple.
Really? That's it?
Really?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I mean, that's less than a private cabana at, you know, many.
And there's some pictures. Sure. It looks like they take that whole deck and it's really just you. There's a private hot tub and yeah, a whole buffet of food.
Except for the speakers and the camera. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. 13 night Alaska to Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be pretty incredible.
And there are other cruise lines that do that, actually. I was looking at a Norwegian itinerary that did that. So that, you know, it's a repositioning cruise and it's a pretty good deal, but it's long. Like, I think, how long is that one?
13 nights.
That's it? Oh, that's not bad. Because Norwegians was like 21.
Oh, and it's It's about a fourth of the price of my Disney cruise. So,
of course it is.
The prices you're looking at are probably like the cheapest inside cabin, though.
Well,
no.
I'm curious. So with that itinerary, do you actually spend any time in Japan or Alaska, or is it really just going from?
Yeah, there's actually two versions of the itinerary. You can actually do an extended three nights. You know, you're getting off in Tokyo. So you're starting in Seward and you're getting off in Tokyo, but you go to, you stop in Kodiak, Dutch Harbor, you go to Russia, Kushiro, which I'm saying all wrong, and Hakodate, and then you end in Tokyo.
So and you can three stops either, in Japan.
Yeah, you can either extend on your own or extend with Azumara for three nights, or obviously have a and I itemize itinerary for you, but my wheels are turning for sure.
Yeah, I love those sort of repositioning itineraries and with ships like this, because they go everywhere, you can always find something interesting like that, you know, start in Hong Kong and end up in Australia.
Yeah, and usually with a smaller ship like this too, you go to ports that are a little bit obscure, off the beaten path.
Well, then you don't also have the crowds that most ports have.
Yeah.
Lindsay, can you look at their Italian? Can you look at their Italian itineraries? That's what I was going to say. I was never actually going to say Italian.
Look at the Italian.
The Italian ones that serve ragu spaghetti sauce, because that's what you...
Shut up. And see if they go to like Portofino or any place like that, because that's usually limited to smaller ships. And I'd be curious if they're small enough to get in there. I know when I did it on the Stella Maris, when I was talking about before, that we still had to tender in because it's just, we weren't quite small enough to get in there. While she's looking.
Yeah, how about a 15-night Rio over New Year's Eve?
Yes.
Could there be a better place to party than Rio on New Year's Eve?
Well, and the best thing about that is you get in, get your party on, and then you get the heck out of there.
You don't have to stick around and deal.
Exactly. Just get back on your quiet ship and say, woo, I did it. Check it off. And now I'm never going to look at people again.
Yep.
Spoken like a poster girl for introverts everywhere.
Exactly. Because that's the thing. Things like that are so intriguing to me, but I know that I can only take them in small doses. And once you're in something like that, there's no getting out of it.
Okay.
Unless you're, you know, you have your ship right off the party.
Your ship to escape to.
Yes, my own personal escape.
That's what this really is. It's just your own personal escape vessel.
Yes. Well, and that's the way I see it for the Grand Prix or anything like that too, or even the British Open. You know, you're not having to battle for a hotel there where everybody else is battling for it, and I don't really see the prices of those itineraries get jacked up. You know, it's not like the ship turns into a hotel for it and says we're gonna, you know, charge you twice what we would normally charge you for a cruise. And I think George is right, these cruises are very reasonably priced for what they are. They're not cheap mass market cruises, but for what you get and everything that's included, prices are pretty good.
Yeah.
So there is a 10-night Rome to Venice. What am I looking for?
Portofino.
That Itali.
I'm looking for that Itali. Isn't it? I see Amalfi and Sorrento, Rome. Oh, this stops in Sicily.
Oh, nice.
This stops in Sicily, in Siracusa and Giardini. So this is some really unique port stops on that particular itinerary.
That sounds like it's an Italian intensive as well. So that's one that,
And then there's another one. Ooh, Night Tall Sails in Remembrance, 14 nights. What is this?
We're just browsing itineraries.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm just planning my own trip here. Sorry, guys. While we record, let me.
Well, and I think that's something about this line is it's got such interesting. You could spend hours just looking at all the places they go. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing really repetitive about it. Everything's really unique. So if there's something you're looking for that's different, they might have it. You know, they might.
This is definitely a great cruise line to look at for people who have done everything. Mm-hmm. You know, those people who have been everywhere, done, oh, we've sailed this 50 times. And because you can look at 2019 and the itineraries from 2019 to 2020, the stops are completely different. It's mm-hmm. going to change constantly. And you're going to always have something new to look forward to.
Yeah. Or for the people who've never done cruising because it didn't appeal to them.
Yes. Yeah. I will say that when you're dealing with a mid-sized ship like this, you do need to be careful because some of these are crossing open ocean. So if the reason you don't cruise is because you're worried about getting seasick, you'd want to be careful about what itinerary you choose. You'd want to pick something that's a little bit more intensive, closer to land the whole time, because you can get tossed around a bit, but, you know, because it's not a super ship. That said, I think it's totally worthwhile doing it. And when you can go to, you know, such amazing places so easily, with lots of time to explore, there's nothing better. Nothing better.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
Yep. Well, I think we could probably sit here for the next hour and talk about all these really cool itineraries.
Yeah. Or dream up our next trips.
Yeah. Really. I think that's going to be our show for the week. Hey, so thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We'd love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe and to leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, Donna, Lindsay, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.